Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NBA playoffs live here. Warriors, Blazers, Saturday night at 9:30 on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, before we cut off for your sports weekend, figure we'd spend a good few minutes with our friend Mike Petralia from WEEI, our sister station, in Boston. Maybe a little insight on what we could expect with this Mike Gillisley situation. I think, spoiler alert, is he's ending up in New England.
You think?
Yeah.
I think. What do you think there? Mike Petralia, thanks for your time today. What is your perception here on the whole Gillisley thing? Will he be a Patriot come Monday?
I would guess at this point no, because I think the Bills are going to match him, match the offer of the Patriots. I just think that is too much for the Bills to lose to a AFC Eastern Division rival. The Patriots certainly have genuine interest in Gillisley. They wouldn't have made the offer to him, the restricted free agent tender offer sheet that they made earlier this week, if they weren't interested. They love him as a downhill runner, and he's certainly a upgrade, I think, younger in one regard, and I think a little bit more powerful between the tackles than LeGarrette Blount. And certainly the fact that he's younger would give the Patriots another edge up on the Buffalo Bills. And after what happened with Chris Hogan last year, I just can't see the Bills letting Gillisley go at this point.
Wow. I think most people are kind of bracing for that, knowing that $4 million, the Bills, if they do match this, they're pretty much out of moves here. Our guest here from WEEI in Boston, Mike Petralia, as originally we're going to invite you on yesterday, Mike, but then we had this whole big blow up with the Buffalo Sabres. And as you may know, the Sabres and the Bills have the same owner in being Terry Pegula. Yep. I'm just curious, as someone who works in the big market from the outside, what is your view here of the whole ownership in Western New York?
Well, I think immature, perhaps, and I don't mean that in a way where they're, personality immature. I think immature in the fact of how do you run a sports franchise and how do you be patient? Because I think the hardest thing for any sports owner to learn is how to be patient, how to make moves that aren't regarded by the public and your paying customers, your season ticket holders, as rash. And it's one thing to come in and really overhaul the image of the organization. But when you start making moves, certainly like the Sabres did, I was blown away by the moves, fire Dan Bylsma, and what they did with the Sabres. I really was. I was shocked because I think I texted you yesterday when I saw the news. I was just blown away. I couldn't believe it. So immature insofar as I think Terry Pegula and the Pegula family perhaps may have to learn a little bit more about being patient and letting their front office do what they need to do. I mean, that is a lesson that Robert Kraft often publicly talks about now, that he had to learn when he was when he was the owner the first time around with both Bill Parcells and Pete Carroll. And when Bill Belichick came in town in 2000, Belichick insisted upon Robert Kraft that, he pretty much have all of the power in terms of personnel. And I think maybe that's what would help the Pegulas is, in both hockey and in football, getting a strong-minded head coach and general manager that insists upon team ownership. I have to have your support or I'm not taking the job.
Mike Petralia from WEEI in Boston, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. I'm so glad you went there because I remember how bad the Patriots used to be, as I'm sure a lot of New England fans do as well. And Robert Kraft wasn't this
great owner right out of the gate. I mean, he made mistakes too. He stumbled, but he had deep pockets and he made moves when he needed to make the moves. I mean, talk a little bit about those early years of the Robert Kraft era there in New England, and are there any parallels to what you could be seeing here in Buffalo with the Pegulas?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of perhaps taking risks on players with bad backgrounds, I mean, obviously Aaron Hernandez is in the news now, but well before that, back in the mid-90s, they took chances on players out of college with sexual assault background. Christian Peter is the one that I think a lot of people recall right offhand. And that, I think, that whole Christian Peter episode with the New England Patriots and how Myra Kraft, the late wife of Robert Kraft, who passed away in 2011, the way she reacted really taught Robert Kraft a lesson about character and how you build quality people. And I think, you know, certainly I don't think the Bills or the Sabres necessarily have an issue like that. But I think when you learn from your lessons and you start applying them, then that's when you really grow as an owner.
Mike Petrella at WEEI in Boston. We lovingly call him Silent G here on the Sports Bar on 95.7 ESPN. As far as the Patriots, we're getting ready for the draft coming up 6 nights from tonight. New England, do they get another first-round pick out of this whole thing? Between Butler, that's still hanging out there. Jimmy Garoppolo, there was a lot of talk there. What, if any, move could Patriot fans expect between now and draft night?
If they make a move, it's certainly more likely that they move Malcolm Butler than Jimmy Garoppolo. And the reason being is I think deep down the Patriots want to hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo because I think more people than not inside the organization believe he is the heir apparent to Tom Brady. And I bring this analogy up not because I think Jimmy Garoppolo is as talented as Steve Young, but it's very similar to Young and Montana in San Francisco back in the early 1990s. When Young took over and was able to, you know, maintain the 49ers at a high level, there are those inside the Patriots organization that think Jimmy Garoppolo can do the same thing. With regard to Malcolm Butler, certainly he isn't going anywhere unless a team offers up a first-round pick, I think, or multiple second-round picks. Some team like, you know, the New Orleans Saints, that name keeps coming up because of the relationship between Sean Payton and Bill Belichick, perhaps even a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, because Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick are very close, and Jacksonville is looking for that type of young defensive shutdown corner. But I think Bill Belichick and his defensive staff would love to have Malcolm Butler and Stephon Gilmore in that secondary, along with Devin McCourty, Daron Harmon, and, you know, guys like Eric Rowe, really good secondary, complementary players in the secondary. And I would be surprised at this point if either Garoppolo or Malcolm Butler are moved at this point.
Mike Petrella joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Something came across my Twitter feed. I can't remember who said it or where it came from, but the gist of the comment was, or the commentary was, that Bill Belichick has done a masterful job of preying on organizations that are run poorly. Specifically, the example was Buffalo and Cleveland. You've covered Bill Belichick and this team a long time. Yeah. I mean, do you see any evidence to that? I mean, is it just the Patriots looking for the weaker run organizations? If it is, no disrespect, it is the American way, right? I mean, the rich get richer, and the poor at times have to pay for the sins of the rich. I mean, I think of like the housing crisis is an example of, you know, oh, well, the banks screwed up and now the American people have to bail them out. I mean, is Belichick preying on lesser run organizations?
Sure. I mean, I think that's part of business. And people forget Bill Belichick is not just a Hall of Fame football coach. He is a brilliant businessman. Yeah, that's what his business degree was at Wesleyan back in the day. He was a business major, and he knows how to strike the heart of a deal. That's why he relates with Donald. That's one reason why he relates with Donald Trump, the art of a deal. And Bill Belichick is always looking to make that next great deal, which is why I think the Bills will be more sensitive to trying to keep Gillislee because they are aware that Belichick, if this were any other team, I think Gillislee would be out the door. But I think because it's the Patriots and Belichick, I think the antenna of the Bills it naturally is up. And certainly they are aware that maybe Belichick is trying to pull another fast one on him, trying to fleece him like a lot of Bills fans did thought with Chris Hogan. But back to Chris Hogan for a moment, guys. Chris Hogan was not used properly in Buffalo. And that wasn't so much trying to pull a fast one or trying to fleece another organization as much as it was. He saw a player not being used in a way in another system and identified that player who could possibly help the Patriots if they're used in a different way here. So that's another thing to consider when you're considering how the Patriots look at players on other teams.
Mike, such an interesting week for the Patriots outside of Foxborough, too. How would you surmise what happened this week, the whole conclusion to the Aaron Hernandez story?
Tragically, very appropriate because it was confusing, riddled with mystery, and ended in a violent manner. I mean, all of that adds up to what, you know, all of that in it is a perfect nutshell to kind of describe Aaron Hernandez, who in my dealings with them several times, obviously, over the course of a season from, you know, 2010 through 2013. He was a very complicated and manic figure inside the locker room. You never know what kind of personality you were going to run across when you saw him. Some days he would say, "Hey, what's up?" Do the same thing with teammates. And the next day he'd be curled up in his locker, giving you an evil, evil stare. So you'd stay away from him. And obviously with the demons that he was fighting off the field with regard to, you know, the alleged and reported gang associations, both before and after his father died, which had a huge impact on him. And then to read that it was possibly synthetic marijuana that led to perhaps a drug-induced decision to take his own life. You know, it's very tragic, very ironic, but I think in many ways very appropriate.
Mike Petralia from WEEI, our sister station in Boston, joining us here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia as we wrap up your sports week. Mike, Thursday night, of course, the NFL draft. I mean, do we expect the usual out of the Patriots trading out of the first round in any means possible?
Well, they don't have a pick right now as it stands. They don't have a pick, believe it or not, until the third round, and I believe the number is 87 overall. 87 overall. They have two picks in the third, one in the fourth, two in the fifth, one in the sixth and seventh. So they have seven picks overall. I believe they lose one of the fifth round picks to the Bills if the Bills decide not to match and they take that pick. So right now it's seven picks. I think overall, guys, the Patriots are going to look to go in three areas. They're going to look for an edge rusher to replace Chris Long and also give some, you know, depth behind guys like Rob Ninkovich. And when you take a look at there was another pass rusher that escapes my mind right now, but went to the Indianapolis Colts. And Jabal Sheard,
yep.
You know, they've had some losses in pass rush. They're definitely going to address that. Rob Gronkowski is an interesting situation. And I think given his surgery history, they are going to look to draft a tight end. Obviously, they lost Martellus Bennett to the Green Bay Packers. So I think they're going to try to draft the best available tight end. And I also think they're going to look for an offensive lineman. And possibly a running back, not a running back, but an offensive lineman to kind of add some depth along the interior line.
Mike, we appreciate your time as we wrap up the Bruins down in their series, the Celtics down in their series. Which of the two, neither of the two, can either of these teams come back?
Well, I'd say the Celtics now with the Rajon Rondo broken right thumb. He's out indefinitely. And, you know, the Celtics, Brad Stevens announcing a couple of minutes ago that Gerald Green will take the spot of the completely ineffectual Amir Johnson in the lineup tonight for the Celtics. And with Rondo being out, if that boost doesn't, you know, light a fire under the two best defensive players on the Celtics, namely Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley, then the Celtics are going out quick. But I think the Celtics, if they can take advantage of Rondo not being available, they can really turn this series around quickly. But it's obviously got to start tonight.
Real quick, 30 seconds on Boston University head coach David Quinn, who could be rumored to be coming to Buffalo.
Well, I don't know a lot about David Quinn, except the fact that he really recruited tremendously well at Boston University and really got that program turned around quickly after the Jack Parker legendary era here in Boston. David Quinn, a no-nonsense guy, he really got Boston University's program headed in the right direction very quickly.
Great way to start the weekend. Mike Petralia stepping into the sports bar. Mike, we appreciate your time as always. Have a great weekend.
You got it. Anytime, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.